from time to time, I like to get my hands dirty and write some JavaScript TypeScript on, sorry.
They at some point had the Frankenstein, the half application was built on the Webflow. You can like interact with some, I think it was not just static page. And then the next part had the similar design and it was on the bubble, and they kind of made this smooth transition of the user from the one to the second. So.
And not to create like a beautiful award-winning design with lots of animations, etc.
It usually takes from 1 to up to 2 weeks to design the simple application.
It's a simple one, yeah. It can take a little bit more, like 3-4, and the sky's the limit. But yeah, typically like 2-3 weeks is enough for the vast majority of application for the initial phase. You understand that, yes, this is working, users are paying for it, the business is scaling. Now you can make it like really beautiful, stunning, with jumping stars everywhere, confetti flying around your product.
And dark and light.
And dark and light mode, of course. How can you live without that? If you were born billionaire, of course, please. Why not? Or if you're well-funded as Musk's XAI with 6 billion or 4 billion from the get-go, of course, why not spend it? Okay, so now we have a detailed product requirements, the scope that what we are going to build. What do we do next, Roman?
The next step is a design, but not in the way we understand it as a design. First, you need to build the wireframes of your product. So the wireframes is just a simple drawing interface. You can draw it from your head, but we usually in Somo doing it in the Figma, our project manager and designer collaborating on your SRS. They're drawing simple mockups and then discussing with you on how it will work. And after that, we are coming to the design part. And do you have any suggestion on how design should look like in MVP?
Well, I totally agree with you that you'd better start with like wireframing and doing it in like very simple flow, because on that way you will have you invest less and you will have more opportunities to do iterations. It will be much easier to do on this step, and most likely you will do changes and like updates throughout the whole process of your product development, and investing, as you suggest, building a black and white prototype helps you make these iterations cheaper than when you have the actual like beautiful UI UX design. And in order to create a beautiful UX UI design, you typically need to involve a talented designer who can put all their magic that I typically don't understand and just make a beautiful, decent looking product that will be pleasing to look at and will be intuitive, of course. And achieve you to solve users' problem. I would suggest not to over-engineer and not to over-invest in the design at this page, at this stage, and not to create like a beautiful award-winning design with lots of animations, etc. Even though you can do it, and in some cases it is feasible and advisable if you are targeting to win some award for this particular design. But in most cases, you should invest, you should be lean and not overinvest in design, because most likely you will change it a lot. You might change like your target audience, so that you might need to update your like key colors, look and feel, or in general, the feature set of your application most likely will change quite a lot during the subsequent iteration. And that's why don't overinvest it at this stage in the design, and invest in it more if it is critical for your product and you really want to have like super beautiful one on the next stages after you launch, do a couple of iterations with the users, you understand that yes, this is working, users are paying for it, the business is scaling. Now you can make it like really beautiful, stunning with jumping stars everywhere, confetti flying around your product.
And dark and light
and dark
mode.
And light mode, of course. How can you live without that?
I can say more that some clients actually we had in Somo were coming to us already with some builded product based on the wireframe. So they actually don't invest in the design at all, just build the app on the wireframes, test it with some users, and then start a real redesigning and redeveloping of this thing. So yeah.
Yeah, that's also possible. That's also possible. And if you, for example, decide later to move forward with the like no code, low code stack, almost every developer is also kind of designer. So you can just have only the general look and feel and the like design system, meaning how buttons should look like, how forms should look like, how input fields should look like in general. And then even without the further like detailed designs of each like screen of each feature, developers, no code developers can actually create it on the fly, basically saving you a lot of time and money. That is also a feasible approach, depends whether it's applicable or not. For more complex cases, probably not, because each feature needs to be thought through. But for a lot of more simpler ways, for example, like a form that collects different input parameters in, you know, in three steps, that is typical use case that can be done on the fly.
Okay, so we are done with the design. We have the beautiful...
Just one last question about the design. So how long should it take and how much can it cost?
The design, it usually takes from 1 to up to 2 weeks to design the simple application.
It's a simple one, yeah. It can take a little bit more, like 3-4, and the sky is the limit. But yeah, typically like 2-3 weeks is enough for the vast majority of application for the initial phase.
So once we are done with the design, we are moving to the most important and huge part is development part.
Or the implementation.
So in Somo, we are, as you probably know, using the no-code and low-code tools. So the question for you, Andrea, I have is that when do you think no-code and low-code is appropriate, and what is like the pros and cons of this? Tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are two basic like schools of thought, let's call it that way, like the classic, a Greek one, and let's call it more modern, more modern one. The classic is one that you go with a typical code native stack and build your either mobile or web application with traditional tools like Swift and Java, Kotlin or JavaScript, etc., and build your application. It's perfectly fine approach and works for a lot of cases and maybe the most popular ones. However, it is quite costly. Developers are expensive and salaries are expensive, and the timeline can be from several months at least for the very minimum product, and typically 2 years for a more complex one. If you have budget for it, like if you were born billionaire, of course, please, why not? Or if you're well-funded as Musk's XAI with 6 billion or 4 billion from the get-go, of course, why not spend it? But if you want to keep the things lean, if you're like a real business that needs to be really frugal with their expenses, it is we highly recommend you consider a no-code, low-code stack for your product as a way to achieve all of your, almost all of your goals. Have a flexible and scalable solution that can start, that can support you millions, really millions of users without any problem. Have a fully secure solution that will meet your all the GDPR requirements and even HIPAA compliant, HIPAA requirements, really guys, even HIPAA requirements if needed. Not by default, but with some magic here and there, it can be achieve. And the most importantly, the very flexible solution that will be easy to support even by yourself, so that when you need to update a certain feature, text, or functionality, you don't need to understand what is a variable or pointer in code. You go to the UI visual builders that are very intuitive typically and can make these updates even yourself, even without being a technical person, or of course your like team, your no code team can do it for you. This is the approach. We both come from the development background and were and still are coders, and from time to time I like to get my hands dirty and write some JavaScript TypeScript. Oh, I'm sorry, no one writes now in JavaScript as well as Roman, but doing all of our new products right now, we start from no code because it's just simply so much faster and so much easier to kick off, launch, and iterate than with traditional code. And of course, we highly recommend that almost certainly your use case can be covered initially with no code. That's what we also suggested Dervis and successfully implemented it on no code.
Yeah, like people usually think that they have some very pretty hard business logic that can be covered with no code. But on our experience, like 95% can be covered with Bubble and other no code tools, because here we're coming like with the our next question, the real difference between the no code and the low code that you have mentioned about. So the you can think about low code as a extensible no code. So you don't have actual the limitation. Every time you need to like modify something or build on the top of no code, you can use the simple coding which most platform allowing you to do.
Yes. So in other words, there is actually no real difference with no code or low code, because almost all of the like builders and solutions have some sort of way of building extensions, so that and the almost do you have any projects that were purely no code? I think all of them had some sprinkles of custom integrations, APIs, plugins, or something in order to build some extra functionality.
Yeah, especially for design.
Especially for design.
Like some fancy CSS.
Yeah, some fancy CSS and animation, or just external integration. Almost all of them, all of them, I'm pretty sure have. So there is really not such a much difference with no code, low code. Just the core will be on no code, and the rest will be covered with a little bit of code. So when that's why when selecting your team for your contractors for implementing your project, make sure so that they have also this extra experience and can finish you this last extra mile with a couple of lines of code in order to finish your project, so that you don't get stuck on purely no code tools. And the most popular platforms that we work with and recommend you to consider, you mentioned some of them already.
Yeah, the Bubble I mentioned. As we talked on previous episodes, like the most powerful no-code tool at the moment. Also the Webflow, which we are using mostly for building the landing pages. Make.com for some.
And sorry, why Webflow for building landing pages?
Yeah, good question. because Bubble is powerful, but not so much. So they have the problem with the static pages. So if you need to have a good SEO and ranking on in Google, which usually are needed for the landing pages, better to move forward with the Webflow at the landing page and the Bubble for application to build this all complex logic.
Yeah, good point. And we actually had a real case with that. One of our clients, Rozmova, built the core platform first on Bubble, but then they needed to implement all of this like really top-notch SEO, achieve top-notch SEO SEO performance in Google and rank high, because they needed to rank all of their therapist profile high. That unfortunately was a limitation on Bubble, and we had to do this part on Webflow. This is our preferred like and recommended stack, with your core application on Bubble and landing pages and other pages that require like to be ranked high on Google on a Webflow stack. And other stacks?
Also to the Rozmova case, they at some point had the Frankenstein, the half of application was built on the Webflow. You can like interact with some things, it was not just static page. And then the next part had the similar design and it was on the Bubble, and they kind of make this smooth transition of the user from the one to the second.
Yeah, it was a really interesting case, and the transition went very smooth and they were happy for it, and the business was working great, and they raised the round, grew, and even were able to enter other markets.
Yeah. More tools. I was talking about the Make, which I think is also very powerful for building the business logic. They don't have the UI, make.com. Yeah, they didn't have a UI builder, so it's mostly purely the logic builder where you can set up some integration, connect some type forms, for example, and send emails. Or there is a lot of integration. Maybe you have some examples on the cases we had with the Make.
Yeah, it is very useful when you want to connect external, for example, spreadsheets or form submissions or some emails through your main Bubble application. For example, in this particular ExitMania case, the booking, sometimes the booking comes not from the actual ExitMania site of Dervis, but from external partner sites where users find this like escape games and adventures where they make the booking there. Then this booking site sent an email to a particular address, and based on this parsing this email through make.com, we fetch the information, number of people, and all the other like location relevant information, and create, for example, a game experience in ExitMania, and then users move to like the actual application on Bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Make.com or Zapier usually handle these cases great. There are, of course, lots of other like integrations that we build on top of each application, like Stripe on top, some document generation or PDF generation, CSV import, export, and a bunch of other plugins that come in addition to this. But this stack is core and serves for the majority of our application.
We also forgot to mention about native layer.
Yeah. So this is if you want to build a web-based application, but if you want to reach like even more users and provide even better user experience, you can do some magic and
convert your Bubble application to mobile app. So you will be able to have the core application, as you said, on the Bubble. And wrap it with natively into a mobile app and utilize some powerful native features like in-app purchases or geolocation, push notification, and a lot of more.
Wow, so and do you need to rebuild the application for that use case, or you just like add one more feature?
No, you just wrap it into the natively, and then you can modify your website on the fly and it just display inside of the natively.
Awesome. So I just build my app regularly, but if I would want to like deploy it to stores, I can just add a couple of like integrations with natively, and boom, in a couple of hours I have it in stores.
Yeah, usually take 1 hour.
Doesn't sound like magic, guys. Definitely check out natively if you want to reach more audience on stores. Okay, so this is the typical stack that you can consider for your application, and from our experience, works well for dozens of clients, really well. There are a lot of other no-code tools. You can, for example, leverage VWeb or Xanoff or Supabase for your database, or rely more on Firebase functions or Firebase data store. We do it from time to time, depending on the requirements of and needs for each project. It can serve some use cases, but they are, from our experience, more narrow ones. And we happily do them when needed, but not that frequently, to be honest.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, guys, so you have your requirements, you have your design, you understand what tech stack you will choose in order to proceed with your project. So when you actually do proceed, what team do you need, and in which phases or milestone your development will take place?
Yeah, usually your team will be one project manager who will help to organize the work of the developers and the team. This person also will be with you during the whole process of development and also during the release. So the one designer, one UI UX designer who will help you to build the beautiful design for your application, and also developers itself, one to two developers should be enough for the majority of the projects we have.
For the initial release.
For the MVP, for the initial release. So the process you usually have in Somo, we are taking your SRS and
or create it for you,
or creating for you, or taking your initial SRS and helping you to make it more powerful. It usually like takes from 1 to 2 days for that. Then we, when you, project manager and designer, will start working together on the wireframes to define your application flows. It usually takes like from 2 up to 5 days, really depends on the scale and your feature set. Then we are going to the actual design, which usually takes from 2 up to 3 weeks. And then the development phase from 4 up to 6 weeks really depends on the project and requirements. After that, we will do the whole testing to make sure that we are delivering the quality product that fully functional. The testing will be something about like 3 up to 5 days. And then you just releasing your application
and start accepting money.
Yeah, start accepting money, iterating. After that, we are not going anywhere. We will still be with you. We have some option to schedule a team for the part time for your needs. So you will not be alone.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Great recap, Roma, of the timeline. And this is almost exactly the timeline that we took, for example, with this case that you mentioned before, the exit mania. And from overall, like from start to end, this process took 3.5 months, as we mentioned. And we were able to release successfully. And here I want to mention that something that I want to recap, something that I mentioned before as well, regarding the iteration. After you go through all this process, you have a product that the solution of your initial hypothesis, what the clients need. And typically, it is not ideal. Typically, it requires some tweaks, fixes, and improvements in order to make it really shine and smooth. And as you mentioned before, allocate at least 20 to 50% more budget for the subsequent iterations for your product in order to just have it for improvements on your product. For example, what are we talking about? It does not necessarily like bugs that something not working, like you expect like your login to work this way and it's working another way, or some integration breaks. No, it's not about that. It's about something that you just didn't think about before actually it goes live. In the case of ExitMania, for example, we had a mobile app wrapped with natively as well for users to play games offline. And the use case was that, so that you have points, certain points on the map that you need to visit each of the points physically and solve some riddle or puzzle mm-hmm. in each of the points. And the application worked in a way so that it had restrictions about 50 meters, I believe, regarding around the point where you had to be located in order to see the like the hints and the actual task for your point. Yeah, and everything was great. We created this limit until we saw that in the actual live, when you start your initial game, you have a bunch of rules and text and intro that you need to read through in order to start your game, like all the prehistory mm-hmm. of the game. And to do that, users, when they started on the point, they go to some like shadow or to cafe to sit comfortably and just read through all of this text and intro section. And they go outside of this initial radio zone and the task disappears because they go outside. Yeah, it's logical. Yeah, so that you go outside, the task disappears. And they were frustrating. Oh, so we're sitting here in the cafe and cannot read the requirements. We need to go outside on the sun. And only part of the users understood that they need to return to the back to the spot in order to read this initial initial context of the game, and it created a lot of frustration and pain for the client to be able to in support solve this kind of issues for the users, because it's an issue for their user experience in order to provide them smooth experience. These are the iterations we are talking about something that was not like well thought through, because simply no one knew about that before it goes live. And you will have just one tiny case, and most likely you will have dozens, if not if not a couple dozens, millions, billions of such cases where you will need to do certain improvements here and there so that you make sure your product solves your user needs in a best possible way. They are happy about it. They understand what is expected from them on each day. They see the value. They are willing to pay. And you have tools on your business side to manage the whole process of all your users' requests, connections, and transactions happening on your platform. This is it,
We have just one last question, which I think is also important, and we are always hearing it from our clients and customers. So what to do when the project scales, or if it scales at all, if we will get 100 million users on my platform, what to do?
Well, bear in mind that powerful platforms like Webflow and Bubble don't have any scale limitations. They have really, really high scale limitations. And can support perfectly millions of users. App developed and implemented properly will not break, for example, by our team, will not break when the users scale and will not skyrocket your costs. They will be pretty manageable and, of course, grow because the load on your application grows, but not exponentially unless you did something really, really wrong. So my advice, don't worry about these problems at all. It will be great problems to have if your scale, if your growth is that steep, so steep that you really face a lot of challenges. And by the way, in this Exit Mania, we had a couple of problems that way, so that users were ordering games and playing games that frequently that the client service was complaining with us that, I have so many support tickets. That's because he wants returns to us in order to make this extra iterations of improving this geolocation feature and some other these small improvements so that the overall experience is better for the users and he has less things to worry and can sleep well knowing that his application games are playing well, while he can take a proper day off.
You mentioned that you actually don't need to care about the scaling because we are in Somo building application already in mind of it will succeed. We are caring that our engineers are selecting the best solution to make sure that your application will work if there will be a huge load.
We walk through every step of the process of coming up with the idea, what to do next, how to validate it, shape it, what should be the next steps that you need to take in order to proceed further based on our experience and based on how we handle projects at Somo. Hope you found it helpful and useful. Use it, of course, to make sure your own product succeeds. Or if you need any help in any step along the way, we will be more than happy to assist you. Just hit us an email or go to our site, somo.io, where we check similar cases and can play around with the requirements generator that we have. You can automatically calculate the cost of your application right there as well. And hit us, of course, an email, and we'll be happy to assist you along with your process.
Yeah.
Happy building. Wish you all the best success. Yeah. And see you in the next episodes where we will discuss more regarding what it takes to create a successful product. We'll bring some interesting founders to us to talk about and walk through with them their success stories. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.